That sounds like a plan.
Well, folks, let's grab our hymnals tonight. We'll stand. And let's open up tonight to 187. Really love this hymn, because it talks about the day that Jesus came into your heart. Amen? How everything changed. We're not the same. Thank God for that. 187. And we're gonna sing the first and the last of 187. First and last. Sing it to the Lord.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. But the light in my soul is all that I had sought since Jesus came into my heart.
Church, wow, what a blessing to know that Jesus did come into my heart one day when I cried out to him. I love that second stanza. It says, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. I've got good news tonight, church. Your sins, which were many, are all washed away if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, what a blessing. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks. And open up, of course, to the book of Psalms. We'll sing again afterward. Yeah, indeed, our prayer list is growing. Always needs, you know. We know that. Psalm 119, indeed, as we continue on in our Wednesday night expositional studies of the 119th Psalm, which happens to be the longest chapter of the Bible, 176 verses. And all the verses speak of the Word of God, except for two. Imagine, the whole psalm is about the Bible itself. And folks, I can't tell you, I wanted to mention tonight before we get going, I cannot tell you how blessed I am. As I prepare these messages for Wednesday nights, my heart is just aflame. It's like Tyndale said, when Tyndale was doing his translation of the Bible into the English language, he said, my pen was like a mighty flame of fire. And he said, you know, it just overwhelmed him, the Word of God. It's so powerful. And I'm just having a blast preparing these messages. And we come tonight in Psalm 119 to verse 33. We're going to be covering verses 33 through 40. How many verses is that, someone? You guys are really funny. Some of you are counting. Number one, you're cheating. Number two, some of you are afraid to answer because so many of you answered wrong so many times.
Eight.
You got it. It's eight. Yes, indeed.
Psalms in 119.
How many verses is that? Everybody looking around.
They all have eight verses.
Exactly. You don't have to think about it, church. We're doing 8 verses a week. We got a funny church. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word as we begin in verse 33. And we come to the section of the Hebrew letter He, which is the English E. 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this passage of scripture tonight. Lord, how we thank you that every verse of every chapter of every book of the Bible is precious. How we thank you that every word is the word of God and not of man. And Lord, how we thank you for the effect that your word has upon our daily lives. How we thank you, Lord, for the power that it has to influence our walk. And how we thank you, Lord, that it causes us to love thee more and more unto that shining day. We thank you for that today. Tonight, Lord, we pray that you would bless your word and by your Holy Spirit give us spiritual understanding into these verses, that we might not just hear a good message, but we might take and apply the word of God to our lives. We ask it all in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, in these verses before us tonight, the sweet psalmist of Israel earnestly prays that God himself would be his personal teacher. Listen, David had his wise men. He had counselors, prophets, priests. He was surrounded by very godly men. And he was well instructed in God's ways, in God's law. Yet he begs to be taught of God. Why? Go to Job chapter 36. Just before Psalms, you'll find the book of Job. Go to chapter 36. Here is the reason why David desired for the Lord himself to teach him. And this is why every one of us need the Lord's Spirit to teach us. Amen? I need that. You need that. In Job chapter 36, look with me at verse 22. Don't miss this. 22. Behold, God exalteth by his power. Question, who teacheth like him? The answer is no one. Because nobody can teach you what God can teach you. And God will teach you through various situations of life. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. Amen. Things will happen in our lives, but they're according to his purpose. He's forming and molding us and shaping us into what he wants us to be. Sometimes it can be painful. When that pottery guy chips away with his chisel, it can be painful, but it's for our good, always. Now, let me give you a few things tonight of why David desired to be taught of God. First, notice what he desires to be taught back in Psalm 119. Notice what he desires to be taught. Verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. The way of thy statutes. Now listen, David does not desire the notions of God's word, nor the opinions of it. But he sincerely seeks to know the way of them. That is, the way of applying them to his life and being governed by them in his walk. Folks, do you desire tonight to know God's ways, to live by them, to walk in them? David did, and so should we. Look at verse 14. Somebody read us verse 14.
I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches.
Oh, I love it. The psalmist says in verse 14 that he not only wants to live in God's ways, but he rejoices in that. Do you rejoice in walking in God's ways? Oh, it gives you such peace and joy. 27, someone.
Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous work.
Amen, Sister Rita. Now here, what she read says that David, when he learns the way of God's precepts, his word, he'll tell others about it. See, I will talk of thy wondrous works. I'm going to tell somebody. Verse 30.
I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me.
David says he made a choice. What choice was that? To walk in the way of truth. You know what we've got, folks? We've got a world full of people that are walking in a lie of the devil. They're walking in falsehood. They're walking in evil. Because they don't know God. But David says, I've chosen to walk in God's ways, which is the way of what? Verse 30?
Truth.
Truth. You got truth. I'm so glad, Ellie, that we have absolute truth. Absolute truth that cannot be questioned or compromised. This book right here is absolute eternal truth. Somebody read us verse 32. I like this one, Dennis, because David says, not only do I want to know God's ways, but I want to run in them. I want to run in them. I don't want to just tiptoe. I want to walk and run in the way of God's commandments. It's a beautiful thing. Secondly tonight, the second thing you need to know is observe the reason why David desired to learn from God. Look at verse 33. Why did he desire to learn from God? Verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Wow. Couple things here. First of all, notice that David knew that his life would come to an end one day. So will yours. So will mine. And folks, we need to prepare for the eternal life after death. Amen? And David says, there's one thing I want to do. I want to keep God's ways to the end. Oh, folks, there's no greater life to live than to live for God and for His glory. Now, David speaks here of the need for consistency. You know what God is looking for in you? He's not looking for perfection. None of us are perfect. Till we get up to heaven, we'll have a perfected body, a glorified body. He's looking for consistency. Amen? Consistency in our daily walk. Now, if a traveler in a long journey ceases at any point to maintain the way, the course to his destination, he'll never make it. Does that make sense? He'll never make it to his intended destination. And so too, the Christian pilgrim, in his journey heavenward, discipleship means keeping close to that straight and narrow way. Folks, listen, why are we here on a Wednesday night? Because we have chosen to live for God. We have chosen Jesus Christ as our supreme joy. Amen? We love Him and we want to please Him. Notice we've got some empty pews in the church. And that's because the world out there doesn't want to go in God's ways. They want to do their own thing. They want to go their own way. You see? Now, this is important. Look with me in Psalm 37. David says, I will keep it unto the end. He says, I want to live my whole life for God's glory. In Psalm 37, don't miss this. Look at verse 37. Mark the perfect man. He's saying, take note of that perfect, don't be alarmed. It means mature, spiritually mature. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Wow. Folks, listen to me. That peace that he's speaking of, it's temporal and it's eternal. It's now in my life today and it's forever with the Lord in heaven. Peace. Why? Because we've put God number one in our lives. That's why. Something else. Psalm 119. Back to our Psalm 119. Somebody read us verse 112.
My heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end.
Ooh. Now look at the inclination of David's heart in verse 112. He says, I've inclined intentionally to my heart. See, folks, listen to me. You can't just learn God's word intellectually with your mind. It has to sink down deep in here. Because when it sinks down into the heart, you grow to love it, you grow to love God, and then you sincerely walk in His ways. Not putting on a show, we're not pretending to be a Christian. We really love God. And we really want to live for his glory. And he says, even unto the end. Even unto the end. God has no end. So he's talking about the end of his life. Now, thirdly tonight, we'll move it right along. Notice what David asks for in verse 34. What does he ask God for? Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. I love that. David says, Lord, I need spiritual understanding if I'm going to live for you. And so do you and I. We need spiritual understanding. In other words, David said, I don't want to just read the Bible and not understand it. You know, if I have understanding, spiritual understanding, I'll be able to do it. I'll understand what it means, and I'll be able to apply it to my life. That's what he's praying for in verse 34. This is what he asks God for. Here, David is asking the Lord to grant him spiritual understanding in the things that belong to our peace. Folks, listen to me. You can learn and memorize scripture all you want, but without spiritual enlightenment by God's Spirit, it will not profit you. Did you know that there are people in the world that read the Bible, even every day, and it never profits their soul? You know why? Because it's up here, but it's not in here. They're not regenerated. Spirits are not born again. And it doesn't, it's just a book to them, like any other book. To the Christian, it's not a book. It's the words of the living God. And they're alive. That means they're active in our lives. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, hold your place in Psalms. 1 John chapter 5. I love this verse. Watch this. In 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 19. Verse 19. And we know, saved people know something that the world doesn't know. We know that we are of God. You belong to God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us a what? An understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You understand that. Because you have the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus Christ is come to you. Notice the present tense. He is in you. Amen. The hope of glory. Christ in you. And he says, because he has come to us, he has given us an understanding that we may what? That we may what?
Know him.
Know him. You know him. It's like your very best friend. You can't, you love spending time with that person. You know each other intimately, right? You spend time together. You know what bothers one another, what each other loves. That's how you are with Jesus. You know him as your very best friend. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Now, something else. Notice the psalmist's resolution. Back to verse 34. Notice his resolution. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. I love this verse. David says here that he is, once God gives him understanding, spiritual enlightenment, he's going to, watch what it says, I'm going to keep thy law, thy word, and observe it with my whole heart. You know what, folks? You know what God wants from you? He doesn't want your bank account. He doesn't want your fancy car. He wants your heart. It's all he wants from us. God has, he already owns your car and your bank account, by the way. He owns everything. Cattle on a thousand hills and the hills. But he wants your heart. He wants your affection. He wants your love. He wants to be number one in your life. Isn't that beautiful? That God doesn't need anything. And yet he wants your heart. Oh, I told you I've been having fun preparing these messages. This is so good. Matthew Henry once said, the way that the whole heart goes is the way that the whole man goes. He's saying, what you love is what you'll do, right? Solomon said, for this is the whole duty of man, to fear God and keep his commandments. Go to Hosea. Hosea chapter 10. Hold your place in Psalms. In Hosea, just after Daniel. See, if I find Daniel, I'll be all set. Hosea, look with me at chapter number 10. Hosea chapter 10, just before Joel. And in Hosea chapter 10, look with me at verse number 1. Israel. Now, who was Israel in the Old Testament? Was that God's people? Yes, that was God's people. You are right, sister. Yeah. Crack something there. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. This is when Israel, the people of God, had fallen into idolatry. And it bothered God. You see that? He hates idolatry. That's putting something before him. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. Not to him, to false gods. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Those are idols. Their heart is what?
Divided.
Mm-hmm. Now shall they be found faulty. Mm-hmm. He, God, shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. God says, my people are given to idolatry, and their heart is divided. Why? They were still going to temple on Sabbath. They were still going to the altar of God. And then they'd leave and they'd go over to their little graven images and bow down and pray to Baal or whoever else they want to pray to. They had a divided heart and God hated it. Look back to our text, verse 34. Here's what he wants. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. With my whole heart. Are you a wholehearted Christian? I hope so, because God wants you to be holy on his side. Amen. W, holy. Now, something else, though. Observe David's petition for God to bow and bend his will. Look at verse 35. Look at this prayer. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. What? David is asking God to bend his will. Folks, you've got to grab hold of this verse. Because our wills, by nature, will go the wrong way. Unless God's Spirit influences our will. You ever hear of willpower? Oh, what's that fella? He wrote the book, The Power of Positive Thinking. No. Well, he, buddy.
Norman Vincent Peale.
The Power of Positive Thinking. You know what that is? That's will worship. Colossians chapter 2. That's just will worship. I can. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't live for God, neither can I. He has to bend our will. His Holy Spirit has to influence us on the inside in order for our lives to be affected outwardly. You hear what I said? Look at what David prays. Lord, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Why? Why, David? Beloved, listen, don't miss this, because just like David, we also need God to bend our will to walk in his ways. Why? It's because our wills are not naturally inclined to godly living. You are not holy by nature. We're the opposite. We're sinful by nature because we have a sin nature. So without God influencing me in my life, I would not be behind this pulpit. I would not be living in sanctification. In fact, by nature, our wills are selfish, not sacrificial. Amen. We are diametrically opposed to the philosophy of this world, folks. We are opposite to what the world believes. Because we believe in living for God first, others second, us last. That's a sacrificial life. And you know what comes from that? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. If they could only know the joy that comes for living for God and for others. Look with me in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. Hold your place in Psalms. In Ezekiel chapter 36, he asks God to bend his will. Wow, that's a good prayer. In chapter 36 of Ezekiel, look with me at verse 27. Don't miss this. Look at verse 26. A new what?
Heart.
Also will I give you. You know what mankind needs? Listen to me. They need a heart transplant. Yeah. They need a new heart.
Amen.
There's only one that can do it. Because it's a spiritual operation that takes place within. Amen? You don't need a surgeon. You got the great physician. Look at it. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. That's the Holy Spirit. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. That's a hard heart. You know, can't penetrate that heart. and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and what's the next word?
Cause you
to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. If somebody told me that, Bob Oliver, before October 3rd of 1986, I would have laughed unto scorn. I would have said, you got the wrong guy. I don't follow God. I go drinking with my buddies, chasing women, you know. But look what he says. I will, verse 27, I will cause you to walk in my statutes. God says, I'm going to do something for you that you could never do. This is the miracle of salvation. But two things have to happen. A new heart has to be given to you. A heart that loves God and the things of God. And the Holy Spirit has to come into you. When those two things occur, then he can cause you to walk in his ways. You know what that does? I love this. Because it gives all the glory to who? God. You and I can take no glory. If we're living in obedience, praise God. We're sanctified, praise God. It's not because of us. It's because of him causing us to live that way. Oh, folks, this is so deep. The exchange life. The Holy Spirit lives through you and me the life that we could never live. It's a beautiful thing. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Here's a really good one. In Philippians 2, look at verse 13. Powerful. Verse 13. For it is who?
God.
Which worketh where?
In you.
Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Did you see what he said? Paul, by the Holy Spirit, said, God is in you and he's causing you to live for his glory. I love this verse because God is in me. God is in you. God is causing you to will. You don't have the willpower, Norman Vincent Peale. You don't. But God's Spirit does. He has to bend our will. And this is how the Holy Spirit works. He works on the inner man to affect our will toward the things of God. Oh, it's so powerful. I love that. Sixthly, notice what David delighted in. Verse 35. What did David delight in? Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Beloved, let me ask you a question tonight. Do you delight in this book right here? I mean, do you love, can you not wait to get home to get your nose buried in that book and that book get in you, you in the book and the book in you? Because David said, I delight in this holy book. I really love the Word of God. I remember before I got saved in 1986, might have been 85, because my sister and her husband were saved before me. And I remember going to her house, and her husband, Mike, was sitting on the sofa reading the Bible. And they had just gotten saved. They were newly saved, right? And I chuckled and I said, oh, Mike, you're not really reading that, are you? That's what I said to him. Yeah. I said, you're just faking it, right? I actually thought the man was putting on a show. And he said, no, this is my Bible. And I said, yeah, but you're not really reading the words, are you? Remember? About 30 years ago. And I just entered my 30th year of salvation, praise God, Saturday, October 3rd. But you know, that's how lost people look at that book. It's like, you know, you don't really take it seriously, do you? But a saved person who has the Holy Spirit within can't get enough of it because it's alive. The book makes no sense to a lost man. The book cannot be interpreted without the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, this is powerful. David says, therein do I delight. Now go to Romans chapter 7. Hold your place again. Romans chapter 7. Oh, this psalm is so good. In Romans chapter 7, we have Paul making an incredible statement here. Watch what he says. Paul was a Pharisee, and he became an apostle of Jesus Christ. In Romans 7, look at verse 22. Paul says, verse 22, for I what?
Delight
in the law of God after the inward man. He said, I'm not putting on a show, but I truly in my heart love this book. I can't get enough of that Bible. This is how every born again Christian is. You love the Word of God. And that's why in this church, our emphasis, we love to sing hymns, we love to pray, we love to do all these things, serving God and give to the church, to missionaries. but we love this book supremely. The Bible is our supreme possession. That's a beautiful thing. Go to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, just after Proverbs. And go to chapter number 2. Oh, this is so good. Don't miss this. Prior to Isaiah. And just after Ecclesiastes, you'll find the Song of Solomon. The greatest love story ever told is the Song of Solomon. It's a love story between a king and his bride, the queen. Anybody know about a king and his bride, the queen? Yeah. You know. Look at chapter 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Jesus speaking. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love amongst the daughters. Amen? So is my love amongst the daughters. And look what he says. As the apple tree amongst the trees of the wood, so is my beloved amongst the sons. I sat down, watch it. I sat down under his shadow, the Lord, with great what?
Delight.
And his fruit was sweet to my taste. You know what, folks? He's using a physical illustration of, you know, delicious. You ever bite into a delicious Macintosh red apple and it's all tastes so good and so juicy? That's what he's comparing the Word of God to. He's saying his fruit is so sweet, I can't eat enough of it. Oh, that's so beautiful. And that's how the Word of God is to his beloved. We are his beloved. And his fruit, his word, is so sweet to our taste. Back to Psalm 119. Someone read us verse 47. 47.
And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved.
Wow. David says, I don't want to delight in gold or riches or horses or cattle or armies or anything like that. I want to delight, look at it, in thy commandments, which I have loved. The mark of every true believer, they love the Word of God. They love the Word of God. Seventhly, observe David's hatred of covetousness. Back to our text. Look at verse 36. His hatred of covetousness. Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Now, here the psalmist reveals the secret inner workings of God's Holy Spirit. He's asking for divine directing in his walk. Beloved, only God can restrain and mortify the evil inclination in us to covetousness. And David learned this truth the hard way when he once coveted the wife of another man named Bathsheba. Oh, did he ever pay for that sin? He paid generationally. I mean, his own son Absalom cast him out of the kingdom. And the baby died. I mean, he paid and paid for that sin. He learned not to covet. Amen? He learned not to covet other things that belong to other people. Never again do we read of David falling into this ugly sin of covetousness after that ugly incident. The Hebrew word is betza. Betza means unjust gain. It's desiring that which belongs to someone else. That's covetousness. And he says, Lord, keep me from covetousness. I don't want to desire the things of this world. I only want the things of God. Go with me to Proverbs 28. Powerful verse in Proverbs chapter 28. Look at this. In Proverbs 28, look with me at verse 16. Verse 16. The prince, see, David was the king, right? The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. That proverb right there says you'll live a longer life if you don't covet. Covetousness is like a rottenness in the bones. It'll cause you to die prematurely. I love that verse. Powerful. But something else. Observe the divine remedy for covetousness. Look at verse 36. Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies, not to covetousness. Now, here we find the divine remedy for covetousness. Now, to incline is to direct. Amen? And God, and David says to God, I want you to direct and incline my heart to your word and not to covetousness. Now go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Direct my heart unto thy testimonies, not to covetousness. Proverbs 3. Somebody read us verse 6.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Amen. If we look to God in our every decision in our lives, he will direct us in the right way. But if we covet, we're going the wrong way and we're making the wrong choices. Jeremiah chapter 10, just after Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 10. Here's a humbling verse. Jeremiah 10, look with me at verse 23. Jeremiah by the Holy Spirit says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You know what he's saying in that verse? He's saying, you don't know how to live right. By nature, we don't. Dennis says, I know. By experience, we don't know how to live right. But he does. And look at it. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So who is it that can direct his steps? Oh yeah, the Lord God. Look at verse 24, gives us the answer. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. He says, Lord, you can direct me. You can direct me just fine. He does a much better job than me. Amen? He's wonderful. 2 Thessalonians. You want to see an incredible verse? 2 Thessalonians. I love this. Look at me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I've always loved this verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You say, Pastor, you love every verse. Well, yeah. You got it, Val. And verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, Paul tells the Thessalonican believers, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Paul says, I know that the Lord will direct your hearts in the right direction, into the love of God. Listen, folks, that verse 5, if you still got that, look at verse 5. See what he says? The Lord direct your hearts into the what? Into the love of God. If your heart is directed by the Holy Spirit to love God supremely, everything else will work out just fine. Naturally, we'll follow obedience and sanctification if we love God supremely. That's the important, that's the starting point of it all. Now, go back with me to Psalm 119. Like children, we need guidance and direction. And I'm so glad that our God gives it to us. Ninthly, David next prays for restraining grace. Restraining grace. Look at verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Listen now, the honors, pleasures, and profits of this world are all vanity. That word literally means, someone, what's vanity mean? Begins with a W. It begins with a W.
Worthlessness.
Vanity means worthlessness. Now go back to verse 37. Look at this. Turn away mine eyes from beholding worthlessness. The Lord's got a sense of humor. Because man, by nature, will look at worthless things. Worthless things, you know. I got to have that SUV. I know it's only $72,000, but I've got to have it, you know. Or I got to have a bigger boat, you know. Or, you know, I'm going to, Sunday morning, but I want to go fishing today, so I'm going to skip church, you know. Worthlessness, vanity. David says, there's something in me that feels drawn to evil things of this world. But I know that my God is able to keep me away from those snares. Look at how God will do this. How will God keep you from vanity? Verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken me. Quicken thou me in thy way. Now, yes indeed, beloved, it is by the quickening power of God's Spirit that we are enlivened and enabled to abide in the way of duty. Go to Psalm 80. In Psalm 80, somebody read us verse 18. Whoever gets there first. So, verse 18.
So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name.
Wow. David says, Lord, there's one way that we will not backslide. It's by thou quickening us. That word quickening, it means to make alive. And in this case, in the Old Testament, it meant to enliven me spiritually, empower me, enable me, quicken me. You see that? Now, this is great. This is great stuff because only God can do this. Go to Psalm 143. Quickly, we got to move. 143, someone read us verse 11. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. David says, Lord, quicken me, enliven me, for your righteousness' sake. Tenthly, observe David's threefold declaration. Got to go quick. Verse 38, threefold declaration. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Oh, there's a whole sermon right there. Observe first David's title of himself. Verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy what?
Servant.
Servant. Who was David? Oh yeah, he was the king. Oh yeah, he was the mightiest king on earth. He never lost a battle in the field. He lost one at home, but he never lost a battle in the field. Right? He was a king. He gave the orders. At his command, people would die. Listen, verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant. He didn't say, I'm the president in the White House. I'm the big boss. No. He said, I'm God's servant. There's only two men in the Old Testament that were called God's servant. David and Moses. Moses, the servant of the Lord. David, the servant of the Lord. Oh, that's a great title. That is a title you want. That's an effigy that would look good on the tombstone of a Christian. Amen? He was the servant of God. Amen? First, observe his title, servant. Indeed, he was God's servant, who is subject to his laws and obedient to his will. Secondly, in his threefold declaration, David declares that he is decidedly devoted to fearing God. Look at verse 38 again. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Now, truly, this is the mark of every true believer, that he or she is personally engaged in dreading anything that would displease God and bring divine judgment upon his life. But thirdly, in this threefold declaration, David declares plainly that God's holy word has power and grace to establish his servants in sanctification. Look at it. Verse 38, establish thy word unto thy servant. Notice the wording here. Establish thy word unto thy servant. You know what he's praying? He's saying, Lord, make your word effective in my life. Establish it as part of my routine, my daily walk. Now understand here, church, that David is simply asking God to fulfill his promises contained in his word to his servant. God, he's saying, Lord, you made so many promises to me. Establish them in my life. Fulfill them in me. 11th, next notice David's observation of false accusations and true declarations. Verse 39. Two things in verse 39. False accusations and true declarations. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Now, first of all, his enemies reproached him with false accusations. In verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear. Second of all, he mentions God's true declarations concerning him. 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Notice David turns to God. He says, yeah, my enemies are saying bad things about me, which aren't even true, but thy judgments, Lord, thy judgments, thine estimation, thine assessment of my life is the only thing that matters. It's true. What God says is what matters. Amen? Now, something else, quickly. 12th, and finally, David professes his ardent affection, that is true love, for God's word. Look at verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Now, listen carefully, church, in closing. Tasting of the sweetness of God's precious words will always produce a greater hunger and longing for a more intimate acquaintance with them. You know it's true. The more you get in this book, the more you want from it. Amen? I've read this book through probably 300 times, cover to cover. I mean, I've gone through this book and through this book and through this book, but every time I open it, no matter where it is, God speaks to me afresh. That's because that book is alive. It's not like a book written by any man. Now, here is the sure mark of a true believer. They can't get enough of this holy book. But notice David's request in verse 40. Because of his love to God's word, notice his request. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Now, I've got to finish up quickly here, but there's something I need to show you in closing that will blow you away spiritually. Have your seatbelts buckled. Now, in his daily walk, he desired to walk with God, right? And he's saying, Lord, let your righteousness be made manifest in my life. Question, what is God's righteousness? What is it? What is God's righteousness? Go to Psalm 98. We're going to finish up quick. In Psalm 98, I want to show you what David is really praying in verse 40. Look in Psalm 98, verse 2. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His what?
Righteousness
hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Okay, now think about that. Let that sink in and go to Isaiah 56. We're going to bring it all together here in closing. Isaiah 56. He said, quicken me in thy righteousness. Whatever that is. Isaiah 56. Look at verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Whatever this righteousness is, he's going to be revealed to the world, according to these prophecies. Go to Jeremiah 23. We'll finish up here. Jeremiah 23. Look with me at verse number 6. Don't miss this. Verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch. That's a title of some person. And a king, whoever this branch is, he's a king, shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. Millennium. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. What is the righteousness of God? The Lord, our righteousness. The second person of the Godhead is the righteousness of God. Look at it. Verse 40 of Psalm 119. We'll finish up. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me, make me spiritually alive in thy righteousness. Don't you know that every one of us today have been quickened and made spiritually alive in Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, the Lord our righteousness? That's what David's praying here, prophetically. Because the Old Testament, you couldn't be born again until Jesus came and died on the cross. So, Jesus Christ himself is the righteousness of God. So in verse 40 of Psalm 119, David is actually saying by the Holy Spirit, Lord, quicken me, make me alive in thy Son. In thy Son. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these incredible verses. Lord, how we thank you that every verse of Scripture is so rich, so full of spiritual nuggets for us to dig out and enjoy and glean. We're just so grateful tonight, Lord, that your Holy Spirit bears witness to your holy word that it is eternal. It is awesome. It is our joy. And like David said, it is our delight. We thank you for it tonight, Lord, and we ask you to bless us and apply this word to our lives this week, that we may be taught of God directly by his Spirit, even through his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals tonight, and we'll finish up with an hymn. And we'll stand. Hymn number 52 is what we've got. 52. We'll sing all three. We're so grateful for that victory the Lord gives us. Sing it to the Lord.
I heard about a story.
the Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
Amen.
I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Oh, victory in Jesus,
my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me. Cleanse me to victory beneath that cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. Now he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see.
Amen.
And then granted Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me that victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He loved me and he bought me with his redeeming love. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about gold streets of gold beyond the crystal sea.
Oh yeah!
Under the cross, the singing, and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I will sing up there the song of the victory.
Everybody!
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood.
Oh, yeah.
He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing blood.
Woo! Ho, ho, ho! Great singing tonight, church. Gonna ask Brother Dennis to dismiss us, Junior, to dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget, we've got church family prayer meeting, if you can stay. If you can stay. Brother Dennis?
Heaven, thank you for giving us your word this evening. We ask you to please keep us safe on our journey home. And we thank you. We thank you dearly for this church and for your spirit here among us.
Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Don't forget, the only addition to Ellie's prayer list tonight is Adeline's daughter.
Oh, I've got her written down under Ellie.
Oh, beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful. Yes. Alexandria. Her name is Alexandria. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Oh, very nice. Thank you so much. I was blessed. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. more about it. I can remember.
Yeah, yes.
Sure. Oh, add Marion. Add Marion to the
church.
I am too. You want?
I don't know. I don't know the name of that church.
Oh, okay.
Of course, we were raised Catholic.
Robbie Catholic Chapel.
Tonight, Lord, and that we can come and pray in your name and seek you, Lord, for the help that we need in our daily lives. And we pray for Marion, Lord, who was sick tonight. She did come to the service, and thank you that she was able to be here, Lord.
Yes.
Just pray you heal her stomach and take away her headache, Lord, and that she would be healed up real soon, Lord. And we thank you that for the weight, Lord, Paul Waite made it through the surgery. I just pray that you would help him with his recovery, Lord, his walk with you. Help him to adjust to being in that wheelchair, Lord. Just comfort his wife, Judy, and give her strength, Lord, and for Carl and Carol as well. And just thank you, Lord, for I pray for Pastor Ron Townsend, Lord, with this memory loss that he suffered, and I don't know if it was some kind of a mini-stroke or what, Lord, but they don't know if it will happen again, and hopefully not. Just pray that you'd be with him, Lord, and bless his ministry and his family, and pray that your hand would be upon him and your will would be done. And let's see what else here. I pray for Carol, Lord, for her cataract eye surgery that's coming up, that you would give the doctor wisdom and skill more, that she'd be recovered completely, and that you would just be with all of us this week and bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Mm. Father, thank you so much tonight, Lord, for the time, for the good service. As Ellie said, it was a blessing. And Lord, your word is always such a rich blessing to us, Lord, because like David, we love it from the heart. And Lord, that's because you've given us a new heart, a heart to know you and a heart to love you. And you put your spirit within us, Lord. We are so blessed tonight. And Lord, I pray you forgive us, Lord, because so many times we complain about little insignificant things that in the scope of eternity really won't matter. And we just pray you forgive us for that, Lord. And keep our eye, as Doris always said, keep our eyes on the prize. And as Ellie always says, keep looking up, and he's coming quick. We thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you that we do love your word. It is such a blessing, a midweek service to delve into it and just to draw closer to thee. And thank you for Darlene coming tonight, Lord, Rita's daughter. She's a blessing, and I pray that she would go to our website when she gets back home in Nevada and tell others about it, and that she might follow along on the website and on YouTube. And we just thank you for her being with us tonight, Lord, a surprise blessing. Bless her and give her traveling mercies on her way home. Tonight, Lord, we want to pray for Brother Walt. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing him through the surgery successfully. Thank you that he is recovering in the hospital. He'll probably be there a week. But, Lord, thank you that they were able to save another leg. And, Lord, we thank you that he's in your hands. We pray there be no infection, no complications from this major, major surgery that he endured. And, Lord, we pray also spiritually for him, that you keep his spirits up, that he would not get discouraged, they would not let the enemy defeat him in any way, but that he would keep his eyes on you. And, dear Lord, that when he heals and he's well enough, perhaps him and Judy could come join us here. What a blessing that would be, Lord. Or another church. But, dear Lord, that I know it will be difficult in a wheelchair, but I know that he could do that, Lord, if you would allow them. Then, Father, I also pray tonight for Alexandria Teixeira. It's Adeline's granddaughter. She's only 21, Lord, and she's had this horrible accident where she became a quadriplegic. She'll be in a wheelchair for the rest of her life, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, she's suffering a lot of pain, Daddy said, and we pray for you, Lord, to ease her pain up, give her comfort and strength. And Lord, we thank you for adding Adeline to us. She's a blessing. She really loves you, and she loves the church and the people, Lord. And that's a great blessing. Lord, like Carol always says, you're bringing the people that you want to be here, because every person that comes, they fit right in. We're grateful for that, Father. Thank you for Val, Lord. Thank you for her faithfulness. Thank you, dear Lord, that she goes the extra mile, the many things she does for the kingdom of God. And Lord, we thank you for all the times she went to visit Sarah when she was in the hospital. More than any of us, she went. And we just thank you for that, Lord. She's a laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. And we pray you keep her strong. Keep her vitamin B levels up. And keep her strength up, Lord. And we know she's got her hands full with Alex and Victor. But we thank you that your grace is sufficient. Father, we pray for the church itself, for unity. Lord, that there be no divisions. I know, dear Lord, that the devil is attempting to cause disruptions where one won't talk to another. And Lord, this is not of your Holy Spirit. And we pray against it, Lord Jesus, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would bring healing where it is needed. Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would bring reconciliation where it is needed. And Lord Jesus, that you, we really haven't had much of issues in the 2+ years we've been together with divisions, and we don't want to start now, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your holy angels watching over us. Keep us unified as one, Lord, and keep us in the unity of the Holy Spirit, because that is the key. And we thank you for that, Lord. Tonight, we want to pray for Carl and Carol. They're not able to be here tonight, Lord. One or the other or both are hurting, and we pray that you bring healing wherever it's needed. We pray for Carl's migraines. Lord, that you would just
apply the blood of your cross in it. And then, Lord, we want to pray tonight also for Jody. We haven't seen Jody in probably a couple of months now, and we pray she would come back to church. We pray maybe Miriam's got her number. She can call her, maybe go for coffee with her and encourage her to come back to church. And she seems to carry a heavy burden, Lord. She really needs you, and I pray for Jody. And I pray for her son, Nathan is his name. He's addicted to heroin. We pray for deliverance to him and salvation for him in Jesus' name. We pray also for Carol's eye surgery coming up on the 28th, Lord, that you bring her through that. And we pray for Tommy, Lord, with the melanoma surgery on the 14th. That's just next week, Lord. She'll be going next week. And I believe that's a week from today. Well, Father, we pray that you'd bring Tommy through that surgery and they'd get all the melanoma out. And if he needs chemo, radiation, whatever, Lord, you'd cause it all to take effect and that you would heal him from that cancer. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, tonight for Mandy. And we thank you that she came Sunday with Rita to church. We pray for her salvation, number one, Lord. And then we pray she'd come with Rita to church. Bless her, Lord. And we pray you draw her by your Holy Spirit to being born again. I want to pray for Miriam tonight, Lord. She's sick. Something going on there. We pray you heal her up from it. We thank you that she was willing to come to church as sick as she was. We pray you bless her, Father, Lord. Pray for Mike McCarthy, Lord, for restoration to thee, Lord God, that you would just not give up on him, Lord, but draw him back to you with cords of love. And Lord, I know that if he was to repent and come back to thee and back to his wife and back to the church, everyone here would welcome him with open arms. We know that, Lord. We're a loving church. We're a forgiving church. And I thank you, Lord, that our arms are open to him, as are yours. That's how you'd have it to be, Lord. We thank you, Lord, tonight for Pastor Ron Townsend. He's a good man, Lord. He's probably pastored that church for over 30 years now. And we just thank you for his faithfulness, Lord. He's a good man, very gentle and loving. And we pray for the doctors to find out what is causing this memory loss and whatever is going on, that you would heal him from it, Lord, in Jesus' name. I also want to pray for Sarah tonight, Jacques. Sarah is not feeling well at all. And it's not like her, Lord, to say, I can't come, I'm really feeling ill. So we pray for her, Lord. She's home, but she's not 100% yet, Lord, and now she's sick or something. We pray for your healing hand to continue upon her, raise her up. We pray for Sarah Carrigan, Lord. She was sick Sunday. She couldn't come Sunday night. And I pray, dear Lord, that Dave didn't catch it, but dear Lord, that you would heal them up from whatever it is, strengthen them, and we thank you for their faithfulness, and for Sydney, Lord, the blessing that she is to our church. We pray for Tim and Mark tonight, Lord. Neither one of them are here, and we pray, dear Lord, that you'd bring reconciliation there. Still not talking, Lord, we pray that you would work in their lives, in your Holy Spirit would mend and heal that breach that the enemy has brought. In Jesus' name, I want to pray tonight for the Wilson family, that they raise that support they need for the prison ministry in all five New England states and make their move easily. We pray for the twins tonight. We thank you for their various ministries, Lord. Continue to use them to win souls to thee. And finally, for our missionaries around the world, we pray for the Tignors in Ecuador for more souls to be saved. We pray for Tiffany McDonald in Thailand. Provide her funds for the visa. We pray for Bob and Hazel Kerouac in Mongolia, that they get that home finished before the snow sets in. We pray for Louise Warner in the Philippines to learn the language quickly, train many nationals to go into the Asian-speaking countries. We pray for Tom and Debbie Bard, that many souls will be saved on their outreach, and that we'll be seeing them soon. I think it's about time of year that he comes through this way, and we pray that we would see him and come preach for us. And then we pray, Lord God, for the Fellowship Track League, that we support for every single gospel tract to win a soul to Jesus Christ. For more to go out. And finally, we pray for our YouTube channel and the website to prosper. And we thank you, Lord, for the tens of thousands that are coming monthly and gleaning of the Word of God. And we pray that many, many souls are being saved that we don't know yet, and that we'll meet them in heaven one day. And they'll approach us and say, we got saved through the preached word on your website. We received Jesus Christ. We look forward to that day, Lord. And I pray there be a vast multitude of precious souls that will make that step of salvation through these ministries. And one last thing, Lord, we pray for a piano player. We need our own piano player, Lord. The songs are great, but they're getting old, Lord. We're limited in our selection. So we pray for a piano player, Lord. We pray that perhaps even that woman and her husband, the cop, would come. She's a wonderful piano player, Lord. We pray they might come back and join us. But Father, increase us, bring more families, bring more precious families like the Carrigans. And Lord, we pray that you would fill us to standing room only in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 And dear Lord, I also thank you for the preaching that you have here today, Lord. How inspiring. The Psalms 119 are already.
Yes.
And how exciting I'm going to just have the opportunity to come here and hear your own word. And thank you for blessing our pastor so much. This your Holy Spirit giving him all of his messages, Lord.
It's
so incredible and inspiring. Dear Heavenly Father, I also like to add Dennis Jr. Kerrigan to the prayer tonight. As you know, he has bronchitis, Father, and he's having a pretty bad case of it, and he doesn't seem to be able to recover anymore. I just pray that he called the doctors, and they want him to return, and I just pray that you would give the doctors wisdom, that you would just get him the right medicines, so that he can heal up from this, Lord, and feel himself again, and feel the energy that he has, Lord. And just keep your hands on him, Lord. I pray that you get everyone and their whole family home, back home safely, Lord. Get your hands on them and just protect them, Father, from any harm. The Heavenly Father, also pray for Steve, Father. We haven't seen him in a long time. And I pray, Father, that you would just touch him, Father, and just show him that he needs to come to hear your word, Lord. Get him to be right with you, Lord.
Yes.
Just bring him back to church, Lord. We miss him, Father. You know that. He's a child of yours, Father, and we just love him, Father, and we just thank you for him. Lord, we pray for Sydney's best friend, Lily. It's 11 years old, going back and forth to Boston's Children's Hospital because of heart problems, Father. We just ask that you touch him, and that, Father, you perform all kinds of miracles, and you answer all prayers, and Father, so we just ask for her healing in you, and just, Lord, she's just so young, and Lord, her parents know you, and I think she knows your word from all that I'm hearing of her. And Father, we just pray for her and her family, and that you can comfort them and strengthen them as they're going through all these things. And Lord, may your healing be taking place, and to glorify you, dear Heavenly Father. Dear God, we're also praying for John McManus, Father. He's out of the hospital, Father. But, you know, he's been having a terrible time with his heart for many, many years now. Lord, we thank you for the miracle that you've performed on him, because he's your miracle, Lord, and it's due to your glory that he's still around. He's truly amazing to all the physicians, Father. We just thank you. We thank you for being in his life, Lord, and for having him be loving you, Lord. And just, Father, we're so grateful that you're watching over this God-fearing and God-loving man. Lord, we're also praying for Marianne and her daughters, daughter Michelle. We ask that you please put a hedge around of protection around her. Did you touch Marianne's brother Brian? And did you just heal him from the seizures, Father, if that be thy will? We ask that, Father, that you would bring her husband Eric back to you, Lord, and just restore his face to you, Lord. And we also ask for Michael Therian, Father, who's got cancer, and we ask that you touch him and that you heal him. Dear Heavenly Father, we're praying for J.D. Broda, who's Carol's daughter's friend in in Florida, and we just asked it. We asked it for her salvation, Lord. You have touched her, and she's a miracle too, because she doesn't have to go back to the doctors till, I think, it's sometime next year. Father, and so you performed a miracle, and you're answering prayers, Father, and we just, the one wish that we sincerely have, Lord, is that she may find salvation, Father, that she may see the way, the truth in her life, Father. Mm-hmm. Please direct her and guide her. We're asking for Dennis Jr.'s wife, Heidi, and her daughter, Emily.
Yes.
We pray for their salvation, Lord. And,
yes, Lord.
And that you would bring them here united as a family, because as it is said, a family who that prays together stays together. And so we just pray that you would just lay upon their hearts and just join the way, the truth, and the life, dear Heavenly Father. Mm. We pray for Ellie and for her cataracts, Lord. She's got an appointment next Tuesday at the doctor's. And Lord, we just pray that you would just heal her, Father, because you restore eyesight. You do everything, Father. It's all within your power, Father, and if it is within your will, please just heal her, Father. If that's not what you'll have, Father, then we just pray that you give the doctors wisdom and steady hand, and just. Have her have that surgery, Lord, to correct that, and just bless her and just be with her, Lord, and strengthen her throughout all these things. Heavenly Father, I also pray that you would put for Matt Clark and his wife and for their salvation, Father, a nice couple, and you know them, Lord. I know that you do. They just got to come and get to know you, Lord. Mm. So I pray that you would have them come to church, Lord, whichever church you will direct them to, Lord. I pray for their salvation, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, I also pray that you would put a hedge around our church, Father, our website, YouTube, and all the other sites that are out there where your holy preaching is getting out there, Father. I pray that you put your hands on that many people may be saved, but that you also have your hands around that, Lord, to just protect it, put a hedge around it, Father. It is your holy word, it is to glorify you, Lord, and you are greater than, you who is in us is greater than he that is in the world, and so we just thank you for that, Lord, and we just trust into you. Our lives, our everything in you, Lord. And Lord Heavenly Father, just help us to do better in our lives, to draw closer to you, dear Lord Heavenly Father. Mm. Strengthen us, give us what we need, Father. Strengthen our faith, Father. And just let us, help us to obey you and to do all things according to your will, Lord, not our will. Father, just... bring unity to this church and keep it there, Lord. Keep the unity there here within this church family, everyone that enters, that we may open our arms to all of them and just love them as Christ loves us, Lord. And let us just help us to be humble, Lord. Help us to be better Christians, Lord. Help us to just to love you more, Lord, to put you first. Before anyone or anything, and help us to put you first, dear Heavenly Father. Father, I also have an unspoken request, and well, you know what that's about, and Father, I put it into your hands, Lord. As we're leaving here tonight, I ask that you just be with us for the rest of the week, and that you just have your hands on us, Lord, that you have a hedge around each and every one of my church family members and their homes, Lord, and that you would keep all evil away from them and any harm, Lord, just protect them from any harm that might come to them otherwise, Lord. Provide your hedge of protection, Father, according to your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Awesome prayer, huh? I like it.
That was, wow, what a rush. Thank you, Jesus. What?
You pray very good.
Pastor.
I love you.
Pastor.
Get in there.
What a...
The Holy Spirit.
No, what a preaching tonight.
Oh.
I love the song.
Thank you.
I don't want to miss a piece of it. Oh, my Holy Spirit has you moving.
Oh,
fierce. Oh, my Lord. It's like...
I had cataracts when we lived in Maine.
The Lord can heal it up there.
You're gone.
Yeah.
My optometrist here told me, "You don't, sir, you don't have cataracts."
Yeah.
They were going to operate in Maine.
Yeah,
I said, well, they're not there now.
Look, they can say that the bleeding's gone.
Incredible.
How many years we've had in church?
Oh, man.
It's a pure miracle.
Not saved it.
Hey, a nice calendar. Who gave it to me? You? I like that praying together.
And you know, I think that prayer is more like
it seems more powerful.
I think that there are times when it's really kind of need to break up.
I think that's a good idea.
But I think that there are times when it's also, when we're this small.
Yeah.